Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are diving headfirst into a source stack that really redefines one of the most vital roles in the C-suite.
And one that's, you know, often misunderstood.
Exactly. We're talking about the Chief Human Resources Officer, the CHRO, and our sources are all centered around this idea of a CHRO Decision Support Hub.
Which is, I mean, it's a framework for strategic data-driven workforce management.
It is. So I think our mission here is pretty simple, really. We need to stop thinking of the CHRO as, you know, the head of the paperwork department.
Right.
And start seeing them as the co-pilot for the company's future growth. We're going to break down the six core steps this role uses to turn people management into a real competitive advantage.
Okay, let's unpack this.
It's such a critical shift. And for you, the listener, I think the main takeaway right at the top is this. The modern CHRO function is basically indistinguishable from business strategy.
Well, they're managing the company's biggest investment, its talent, and they're doing it in this incredibly volatile global market. So that means moving beyond simple compliance and administration.
And into what?
Into robust analytics and predictive modeling. The old HR desk is gone. The decision hub is here. And it's built to manage the complexity of hybrid work, global compliance, and, you know, constant digital transformation.
That complexity is exactly where we need to start. The sources, they lay out this immense breadth of a CHRO's duties pretty clearly. We identified, what, five key areas?
Five core areas, yeah. And they span the entire spectrum of organizational life. It really starts with the foundational mandate, strategic planning.
Which means making sure the workforce strategy is perfectly aligned with the overall business goals.
Precisely. If the company plans to expand into Asia, for example, the CHRO has to have the talent pipeline and the cultural readiness all mapped out. Not tomorrow, but years in advance.
And building that pipeline, that leads us right into the second and third pillars. Number two is that whole life cycle management of talent acquisition and workforce planning.
The continuous hunt for talent.
Always. And the number three is what really defines the workspace itself, employee engagement, wellness, and culture building. This is, you know, the atmosphere where the work actually happens.
The final two pillars, they move more toward measurement and risk. So fourth, we have performance management and leadership coaching.
Making sure the current talent's developing and you're building up the next generation of leaders.
Exactly. And fifth, what I'd call the essential bedrock, compliance, diversity and inclusion, and workforce analytics. This whole group just ensures the organization operates legally, ethically, and intelligently. It's an enormous portfolio.
It is truly a massive umbrella. And managing it successfully means, well, navigating some constant headwinds. So let's pivot now from those five responsibilities to the immediate hurdles. What's stopping the CHRO from delivering on that strategic mandate?
The five common challenges outlined in the source material are, they're a direct reflection of today's pressure cookers. The foundational struggle is still attracting and retaining skilled talent.
That's never gone away.
Never. The market has empowered individual employees with so much choice and mobility, so retention has become a strategic daily fight.
And I can see that. But you mentioned something that feels even more complex than just, you know, filling seats. Building genuine diversity and inclusion, or D&I.
Right.
That's not just a hiring metric. That's a deep cultural change.
Mm.
How do the sources really emphasize how hard that is?
Well, it's difficult because it requires changing these deeply embedded behaviors, not just setting quotas. The CHRO has to actively dismantle unconscious bias within hiring, promotion, leadership development, everywhere.
It's a full systemic overhaul.
It is. It demands commitment from the CEO all the way down. And, you know, it often involves a lot of internal friction.
Okay, what's next on the list of challenges?
So moving on, the third challenge is what I'd call the logistical nightmare of the post-pandemic world.
Let me guess, hybrid work.
Effectively engaging employees, particularly in hybrid work setups, the sources are very clear. Visibility is fractured. Connection is decentralized. The old office social contract is just gone.
How do you even measure morale when your teams are spread all over the place?
That's the question. How do you measure pulse, morale, or even basic connection when teams operate across dozens of time zones and platforms?
And I imagine that global complexity just bleeds right into the last two challenges.
Absolutely. The fourth challenge is the pressure of ensuring compliance with fast-changing regulations. If you operate globally, labor law shifts daily. The CHRO is a primary risk manager in this environment.
And a fifth.
The fifth is that constant need to manage massive organizational change and digital transformation across the entire company. It just means HR is always steering the ship while simultaneously trying to rebuild it. It's a perpetual state of flux.
Okay, so the responsibilities are clear. The challenges are, frankly, intense. But if these CHROs are going to get buy-in from the C-suite for massive investment, they need to prove that these solutions actually work. So what are they doing?
This is where we shift to the structural solutions in the Decision Hub model. And the key is that they are structural, not just reactive.
Okay.
For example, to tackle that talent pipeline challenge, they're forming strategic partnerships with specific universities and key recruitment portals.
So it's about building a proactive brand presence.
Exactly, and ensuring a continuous specialized flow of candidates, often, you know, targeting underrepresented groups to help with those diversity goals.
And what about internally?
Mm-hmm.
For the culture and engagement challenges, what specific programs are working for D&I and wellness?
The sources highlight several. Formalized bias training is now pretty much mandatory.
Okay.
Dedicated wellness programs are being used to address stress and retention. And robust, formalized reward and recognition systems are used to boost morale. And for the huge compliance burden, the solution is really rigor and technology.
Using things like multi-country compliance platforms, I imagine.
Yes, and conducting regular, thorough legal and regulatory audits.
What's fascinating here is that, I mean, none of these solutions matter if you can't prove their business value.
You're dead on. And that brings us to measurement. The CHRO Decision Support Hub relies so heavily on formalized structures for performance and change. This means running advanced leadership workshops, applying specific change frameworks like Cotter's or ADK to guide transformations.
Right.
But the most important element for the listener is the measurement framework. This function is moving away from tracking simple HR activity, like how many people were hired.
In toward what?
Toward tracking business outcomes. They anchor performance using objectives and key results, or OKRs, as well as standard KPIs.
Wait, let's drill down on that for a second.
Oh.
OKRs can be famously tricky to implement because they need clear, measurable results that tie back to the company's financial goals. So for a CHRO, what does an OKR even look like?
Well, it completely changes the conversation. It goes from how fast did we process payroll to something like, did our leadership development program reduce staff turnover in critical engineering roles by 15%?
So the key result has to be quantifiable and business relevant.
It has to be. And they also use something called competency mapping, which connects an employee's specific skills directly to the requirements of their role and the future needs of the business. This ensures every training dollar spent can be tracked back to a measurable increase in capability. This is how HR speaks the language of the CEO.
Okay, so we've established the strategy, the measurement frameworks. Now we have to shift to the technology that powers all of this. Because the complexity we just talked about can't be managed without a pretty sophisticated digital backbone.
The modern HR tech stack.
Exactly.
Right.
And we're not going to list every single piece of software, but more the categories of tools that generate the data for this decision hub. You need robust HR management systems, or HRMS, for core data.
The source of truth for every employee record.
Then you need specialized systems for payroll and compliance, which are tools that ensure accuracy across dozens of, you know, complex jurisdictions.
And crucially, because engagement is such a massive challenge, you need dedicated engagement platforms. These tools like CultureAmp or Office Vibe, they measure the organizational pulse with sophisticated surveys and sentiment analysis.
So the CHRO gets continuous feedback, not just some annual review.
Right. And finally, dedicated learning platforms, whether it's an internal system or, you know, access to external resources like LinkedIn Learning or Coursera, they ensure continuous upskilling. The main point is that this whole integrated stack generates a massive, continuous stream of data.
And that data is the bridge to the strategic application of AI. And here's where it gets really interesting. The sources suggest that introducing AI is the single biggest factor in transforming the CHRO from a reactive leader into a forward-thinking strategist. It delivers that aha moment of efficiency.
And not just by doing things faster.
No, by enabling entirely new high-value activities.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, AI just takes over the low-value transactional noise. This frees up human insight for high-value strategic work. Think about talent acquisition.
Huh?
AI automates the initial steps, you know, sophisticated resume screening, parsing applications, shortlisting candidates. This means the human recruiter shifts their time from sifting through thousands of irrelevant applications to spending real time with the top 5% of candidates, building relationships.
That's a fundamental change in the job, then. You go from being an administrative filter to a strategic relationship manager. What about for the existing workforce?
The sources detail a few high-impact strategies here. AI allows for a truly personalized employee experience. For development, AI assesses competency gaps against organizational goals and then delivers personalized learning recommendations.
So every employee is acquiring skills the business actually needs.
Precisely. And the analysis of culture and feedback is completely transformed. AI uses sentiment analysis to process thousands of pieces of qualitative employee feedback, emails, chat data, all at scale.
So HR can instantly see what issues are bubbling up.
Exactly. They see where dissatisfaction is concentrated and can intervene proactively before minor issues become major retention crises.
That feels like the most important part, the proactive piece.
I think it is. And most importantly, AI enables forward-looking analysis. This includes predictive analytics for performance tracking, even flight risk modeling.
So the CHRO can flag high performers who might be thinking about leaving before they even update their LinkedIn profile.
Yes, allowing managers to intervene with targeted retention efforts. Plus, compliance risk gets dramatically mitigated through automated audits and report generation, which removes so much manual error from global regulatory reporting.
Okay, this sounds incredibly complex to manage, though. You have strategic plans, OKRs, five different categories of software, layers of AI. Having all these parts is one thing, but making them work together needs a really deliberate, structured workflow.
It absolutely does. And that integration is the whole purpose of the Decision Support Hub. The sources outline a five-step workflow that's necessary to truly transform these internal processes.
Okay, what's step one?
Step one, integrate data from diverse sources. This means breaking down those notorious data silos. Payroll needs to talk to the learning platform, which needs to talk to the engagement platform. It all has to flow into one central hub for analysis.
And once that data is integrated, the automation can really start, right?
That's step two. Automate routine tasks using AI bots. Everything that is procedural and repetitive, like onboarding paperwork, first-line support queries, benefits enrollment, all of it should be handled by bots.
Which frees up the human HR team entirely for judgment-based and strategic tasks.
Correct. Step three, analyze trends using dashboards. This is where the CHRO visualizes all that aggregated data, seeing patterns in turnover by department or correlating training investment with reduced compliance incidents.
Okay, and step four sounds like where the real strategy happens.
Step four is the definition of strategic HR. Make data-driven decisions using scenario planning. This is not about reacting to last quarter's numbers. It's about modeling the future.
What if we acquire a competitor and need to integrate 10,000 employees?
Exactly. Or what if a recession forces a hiring freeze in certain regions? The CHRO can model the impact of different strategic choices before they're ever executed.
That is the ultimate strategic function. You move from being a cost absorber to a risk mitigator and a future planner. And I assume the last step closes the loop.
It does. Step five, track outcomes and continuously improve through rigorous feedback loops. Every single decision, from implementing a new benefit to launching a new training module, is measured against its OKRs, analyzed for its impact, and adjusted.
And this closed loop system confirms the central theme. This workflow transforms HR from an administrative function focused on paperwork into a predictive strategic decision center focused on enabling future growth. So what does this all mean? The modern CHR role, as it's defined by this Decision Support Hub, is really defined by a relentless strategic trajectory. It's the move from basic compliance and paperwork management towards strategic prediction and rigorous AI adoption. It's all supported by integrated technology and a structured continuous workflow. This is really the new executive mandate for talent.
And this continuous improvement loop, it raises an important, I think a provocative question for you, the listener, to consider. If the ultimate objective of this entire complex hub is not just efficiency, but the continuous enhancement of the workforce.
Making people faster, better skilled, more strategically aligned.
Right. If that's the goal, what is the single most important metric the CHRO should prioritize above all others to prove that continuous enhancement is truly happening? Is it the speed of new skill acquisition, the retention rate of critical high performers, or maybe the demonstrated success rate of internal leadership pipelines?
That's a powerful thought to take away, because it forces the CHRO to define what better really means for the business. And if you're looking for an immediate deep dive into the most future-facing parts of this role, start exploring the concepts of scenario planning and predictive analytics. Those are the skill sets that truly define strategic success in this new era of HR. Thanks for joining us for the deep dive.